Hi, I'm Sean O'Keefe from Chateau Grand Traverse in the beautiful Old Mission Peninsula in northern Michigan, where we have a winery and inn. We'd love to have you visit us, and you can find more about our wines at cgtwines.com.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio. This is my second interview with Sean O'Keefe, second generation vintner, Chateau Grand Traverse in Michigan, Old Mission Peninsula. But this is the first time having the chance to talk to Sean that I've actually tasted some wines. The 2012 Pinot Grigio, the 2012 Ship of Fools, blend of Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, 2012 Edelsvicker, which is a blend of Gewürztraminer, Muscat, Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, and the 2011 Gewürztraminer. Sean, you make outstanding wines on Old Mission Peninsula at Chateau Grand Traverse. Outstanding wines.
Oh, thank you for the enthusiasm. We'd like to think that we are here for a reason, so it's good to hear that.
I was absolutely blown away. There is nobody in California that can outdo you with your Pinot Grigio. And that Ship of Fools, the price is just to die for. It's heavenly.
Well, it's price we want to be. I mean, we're Michigan here, and a lot of people haven't heard from us, and we're really trying to get the word out. And I like to keep the prices good so I can get into restaurants, because that's going to be where people are going to try these things the first time. So
by the glass pour.
Yeah, so no ego pricing here. So.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Oh, I like that, ego pricing. Very, very good. I don't remember. I know you've been at the Anderson Valley International Alsace Varietals Festival in the past, but is this your second, third, fourth year?
Oh, I lose track. Usually a bunch of winemakers here, we kind of rotate who actually goes out there, and we present all our wines together.
Okay.
And this year, Brian Ulbrich from Left Foot Charlie is probably going to be pouring my wines.
Okay.
I've been there one way or another for the last 5 years or so.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, you definitely are standing tall with the wines, and people can learn about distribution online. The website is cgtwines.com. Today, the focus was the Alsace varietals, but you also make Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Gruner Veltliner. Yummy, yummy.
Yeah, we're primarily a white wine region, but we also have, Gamay Noir and Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc, and things like that
as well.
And
Merlot.
Merlot, Wild Frankish, Zweigelt,
really?
Cupertino, Teraldego, Rufosco. We have little bits of everything everywhere, but the main ones, Gamay and Merlot and Cab Franc. So.
Sean, when your father founded the winery in 1974, was he in agriculture at that time? Or what prompted him to do this at that time? Because he was definitely a visionary.
Well, I've heard different origin stories, but the main thing is he was importing wine a little bit as a kind of a, I would say, more of a hobby than anything else, but it brought him in contact in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, with a lot of prominent German winemakers, and that seemed to be his favorite region, for whites. And he met Dr. Helmut Becker from Geisenheim, which is the prestigious, German wine university up in the Rheingau. And he was quite a character, and he visited my dad, where we had a vacation home up here in Traverse City, and he thought it would be great for growing Riesling up here. And before you know it, my dad planted 50 acres of Riesling in a place where no one had ever done this before, ever. So it was, it didn't take long.
And I didn't even mention the fact that you have so many dessert wines.
Yeah, I mean, Riesling is our main grape variety, and because of the acidity, it lends itself to many different styles, but it can handle sugar well where other varieties can't. With the acidity, it balances out and it tastes not so cloying like you would if you had the white Zin type thing.
Right,
But late harvest Riesling, which is a later harvested Riesling from us, that's our number one selling wine here in Michigan.
And you produce Riesling all the way from very dry to dessert.
Yeah, we take the German heritage thing almost a little too seriously. We make way too many wines, but it's because we have fun doing it. We have everything from bone dry to, ice wines and botrytis wines that are over the top, unctuous and sweet and everything in between.
And you have a very active wine club, I'm sure.
Yeah, we are. And, like I said before, though, my main goal is to be at restaurants, though, because a lot of times with Michigan, people, when you mention the word Michigan, they think of either you know, like a scene out of Fargo, you know, like some windswept cornfield,
mm-hmm.
or they picture, like, you know, kind of the smoldering ruins of Detroit or something like that. And we have a beautiful wine growing region up here, so I need to really get them in prestigious places so to kind of get over that whole "it's from Michigan" kind of a question mark that usually goes along with it.
Well, if people taste the wines, I mean, I put it out on Twitter and Facebook. I was just dumbfounded how utterly fantastic your wines are.
Well, I would like to think that it's kind of region-wide here. We on the Old Mission and Leelanau Peninsula. You know, we're peninsulas on the end of a peninsula, and we don't really have, at least when we all started, there wasn't like a big highway coming through here or anything where we had the easy sell, so we had to be good. Land prices are, they're not as high as Napa, obviously, but they're very, very expensive. So if you want to do this, you don't really have the room to make something half-baked here. And I'd like to think that not only us, but our whole region has really stepped up a notch in the last 20, 25 years. And I'm not surprised that you think that, though. I think their wines are pretty good from here. So.
Oh, yeah. And I see on some of your material, Dan Berger touts the fact that the wines are just to die for.
Yeah, Dan's a great, I mean, he's been really behind the better areas of the country, the regional wines, whatever, from Virginia or Finger Lakes or North Carolina or Colorado or all these places that were pretty much ignored and still, for the most part, are by the major wine magazines. But Dan Berger, Jancis Robinson, Stuart Piggott, the Riesling guru, Tom Stevenson from Sotheby's, they've all been through this region and have had some nice things to say about it.
In the future, are you tinkering at all with sparkling wine?
I am making some this year. The big sparkling producer in our area is Larry Mauby, who does a great, great job. We have been growing so much over the last 15 years is that I didn't want to spread myself too thin by trying to do everything.
Right.
But our region's so well suited for it. I'm actually working with another winery, two lads up the road, two lads winery, to do some limited Riesling sparkling and some Blanc de Noir this year. And then hopefully we'll take that a little further next year.
Oh, you've got to rejoin me when you do that. I'm just a sparkling wine fanatic. Now, your brother Eddie, what does he do at the winery?
He's the president. He pretty much keeps everything in balance so that I love planting vineyards and new varieties and doing things like this. And he kind of keeps the boat directed so that we're solvent. And he represents us at the national level. He's the current president of Wine America. He's the one that kind of represents us with the larger organizations and national, international organizations.
So you're the man in the field and also in the cellar?
Yeah, our head winemaker is Baron Croissant. I make the Ship of Fools, and any of the labels that you have that look kind of strange are my wines. Then I work with him on the other ones, but he's the head winemaker there. So I run the vineyards as well.
Give the explanation of Ship of Fools. Why Ship of Fools? My husband and I were discussing that.
It has nothing to do with the Grateful Dead or any of these bands and things like that, or Bob Seger. But I studied German literature for my undergrad, and that was an old kind of image of humanity's on this big boat that's going supposedly to the promised land, and everybody's pointing in different directions how it's supposed to go there, and everybody thinks that they're in control. And it gets there nevertheless, and that's what I felt like the wine business was. I mean, you know, the vineyard grower, the wine merchant, the accountant, everybody thinks that they're the most important thing, and we're still blown by the weather, financial weather, and by real weather, and we somehow get there. And that's kind of, I just like the image, you know, and plus, every Michigan wine label eater has a fish or a ship on it, so I had to kind of play off that as well.
And what is the temperature like right now? And is it a typical January, you know, weather, or are you colder than usual?
Much, much colder. The reason we're able to grow grapes up here, a lot of people love to say that we're in the 45th parallel, which is great. You know, that's where Piemonte and the Willamette Valley are. But it's also that same line goes through Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, so we're kind of in between Ulaanbaatar and probably the Willamette Valley.
Okay.
The water kind of, you know, the Great Lakes, during this time of year, the winds are coming out of Canada.
Yeah.
And typically they go across Lake Superior and most of Lake Michigan before they hit us, and they're warmed up. So where if it, in the interior of the state, it'd be too cold to grow vinifera. But here we are pretty much warmed up. Now, having said that, it's been so, so cold that Lake Superior is pretty much freezing up and Lake Michigan's on its way. And I'm really, really concerned because once those freeze, we've lost, you know, it's as though we're in middle of North Dakota all of a sudden. We've avoided the really cold temperatures from early January, so it only got down to about 3 or 4 degrees above zero, where downstate, and I heard in Ohio that it got down to like 10 or 12 below.
Wow.
But there's a lot of potential for that still to happen. It's probably about 10 degrees with blowing wind right now, and it'll probably be down to zero, you know, by tonight again.
And you can't, like, have turbines blowing wind around to help?
No.
It's too cold.
The one thing we do also have, though, is we have lake effect snow. We get a lot more snowfall here, so most of the vines are covered up. Not completely, but even if we get some damage on the buds, the vines aren't going to die because they're protected by a big blanket of snow. So
there you go.
We've seen this before, so we're not, and there's nothing I can really do at this point. So
right.
I just kind of stare out the window
right.
and hope for the best.
I grew up on the east side of Cleveland. I'm very familiar with lake effect snow. Well, Sean O'Keefe, it's such a pleasure touching base with you again. You deserve our respect across this United States. Everybody should be turned on to your wines. And we will have links up for you to learn more. The winery is Chateau Grand Traverse, and the website is cgtwines.com. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
You're listening to Wine and Dine.
This is Dan Berger, and you can keep up with my passion for regional characteristics in wine on my website, vintageexperiences.com. And keep listening to Lynn.
Hi, my name's Jancis Robinson. I'm a wine writer, master of wine. Please visit me at my website and find out more about how I particularly enjoy sharing the lovely and delicious world of wine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.